There's so many things that I want to teach you guys on, because I'm just the teacher, to equip us and arm us and make us knowledgeable. I told you I don't want this body of Christ to be like floundering fish out of water. Someone asks them a question, or how come we believe this? We don't have a clue. We don't have any scripture to back it up. So I'm going to start with healing, and I'm going to go at it like a lawyer, so that when I'm done, you will know without a doubt why it belongs to you and belongs to you legally. Legally. You will have the right and legal ground to stand on. Now, again, I need to ask Lauren, do I need to get my Bible to look up scriptures? Okay. So, not being raised in church, I never thought much about God healing or not healing or his thoughts on it, one way or the other. So, but I started going here, and of course things come alive, you know, and you begin to hear both sides of belief systems. And number one, healing passed away with the last apostles. It died along with the gifts of the Spirit. That's what some folks believe. And this is called sensationists. Sensationists, which is from the word cease, meaning to stop. Now, there's many who believe this, okay? And number two, God is still in the healing business. Finally, frankly, it's just too late for me to believe any other way. Jesus died on the cross for my sins, my healing, my prosperity, my wholeness, my peace. It belongs to me. So listen carefully. There are good, faithful Christians who do not believe in healing, okay? My goal is not to bash them. That's not what I'm doing. My goal is to methodically, through the Word of God, give you God's promise on this. Now, I'm not going to get it done today. What am I going to do? I'm going to lay the foundation, just the foundation. Some believe that God was and is sovereign, and if something bad happens, you need to accept it as the will of God for your life. That includes having cancer, dying early, experiencing a car wreck, and you just accept it because God wanted you to have calm. They didn't take into consideration there's a real devil and that we are to resist him. Many will pray for the sick like this. Lord, if it be thy will, heal this person. Have I ever heard that before? I have. Or someone dying in the hospital. Lord, what an opportunity to glorify you. Give so-and-so your grace to glorify you until their last breath and be a good witness to everyone in the hospital in Jesus' name. Thank you. Yes, it's excellent, excellent to be a witness for God. But it is never God who sends cancer. Never. It's never God who sends cancer or any other form of disease into the lives of his children. Period. 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 But what? Period. But what? Period. But that's a good Christian. Period. Period. God doesn't do it. He does not do it. James 1:17. Can you do that one, Lauren? Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father lights, with whom there is no variation in shadow of turning. He will wake up one day and say, yeah, they need a good lesson. And he changes his mind. He's good, people. He's good all the time. So it clearly states this. This verse tells us that of the issue of what God gives and what God never gives, this says it. He doesn't change his mind and once in a while sneak in a snarly gift in there on his children. He does not do it. His goodness, love, and character never waver or alter. God is not moody and think his kids need to learn a lesson. Can I get an amen for that? Thank you. He never changes his mind on this issue. God, on any issues that he stated, God always gives good and perfect gifts. I looked up the Greek and it implies good gifts. It implies that everything that is truly good, wholesome, and complete in life is a direct gift from God. I'm just going to tell you right now, I've had a lot of wonderful gifts from God. This next breath I'm taking, that's a wonderful gift. That's a wonderful gift. Cancer is not good, and there's nothing about it that brings maturity or perfection, so it fails the test. If you've ever known anyone that has even come out of a cancer diagnosis, they'll tell you, I would rather have learned some other way. Yeah, they really would. Thank God that they did come out of it. It comes from the devil, who is the thief that comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. Healing involves a fight of faith. 1 Timothy 6:12, I'm not going to read that. I didn't even give it to Lauren. But Paul is giving Timothy, which was his spiritual son, a real encouragement and an urgent charge. And all of us who are living the Christian life to fight the good fight of faith. Let me just say that. It's a good fight. It's a good fight. When it comes to receiving healing and walking in divine health, we need to fight the good fight of faith. Hey, Terry. If it's God's will that we be healed, and we were healed by the stripes of Jesus the day we got saved, why do we have to fight? When Paul describes something, when he uses certain words, it was from that day. Like in Rome, they were always having competitions. They were always having, you know, there was always the chariot races. There was the gladiators. There was always something very athletic. So he describes things in terms like that. Well, we might describe things like with a cell phone or with AI today, that he described it with what he... Okay, so fight depicts an athletic competition. And there were always games going on at the time. It pictures wrestlers in a wrestling match with each wrestler struggling to overcome his opponent. Here we go. You got a better idea of it than anybody. It could read this way: agonize the good agony of faith. For us to walk in our healing, for us to have the divine health God wants us to have, and that Jesus purchased for us on the cross, it involves a fight of faith, not against people, but where do we fight? We have to, there may be people in here that haven't heard this and they're already fighting what I'm saying. We have to have, or people that will listen to this online, we have to have a good understanding of our redemption and what it includes. Now I'm laying the groundwork for all you people that have heard this before. When Jesus died on the cross and rose from the grave 3 days later, many things took place in the realm of the Spirit. In addition to our lives being redeemed out of the control of Satan and the power of sin, we also receive supernatural deliverance and healing. Before Adam and Eve disobeyed God's command, everything God created was perfect. It was. I don't know how, no more contacts, no more having to use these, no more snarky people, no more. I mean, can you imagine the weather's perfect? Can you just, the breeze is perfect? Your body, there's no overhangs anywhere. There's, your hair's thick and full. All right. So, Romans 5:12. I'm ready. Therefore, just as the one man's sin entered into the world, that's Adam, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sin. Is that all, Gabe? Oh, yeah, that's all I wanted. Adam did this for us, bless his heart, because he couldn't say no to his wife. He couldn't say, put that apple up. He had no backbone, which is a lot of problem with me today. But you know, he couldn't tell his wife no. She was just so beautiful. She was so perfect. Honey, try. Anyway, he couldn't say no. Do we have a comment section going on? So it was because of Adam's transgressions that the entire human race was exposed to death. Thank you for nothing, Adam. And it opened the door for the reign of Satan on the earth. I've gone through that extensively, but that's what's caused That's what caused that freeze to come and all the pretty flowers getting froze. I mean, just things like that. That's why trees die. That's why this. Think of this. Okay. Man, animals, flowers, trees were never meant to die. Never meant to die. Animals were never meant to die. People were never meant to die. But the effects of sin, which included sickness, disease, illness, and death, all happened. To restore what was lost, we know God sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for our behalf. And in that moment, he redeemed us, breaking the power of the devil and death and all its effects off of our lives. Amen. Colossians 1:3, Lauren. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of his dear son. The moment someone repents of their sin and calls Jesus the Lord of their life, they are transformed out of Satan's darkness. You're over here, they're living in darkness. You know someone that's not safe? They are in darkness and they're operating in darkness. But Jesus came and he snatched them out and he put them in God's kingdom. Now that's something, if I could jig, would be jiggable. Is that okay that I say jiggable? That they were transformed. All the debilitating effects and translated in the kingdom of God. Sometimes when we're sitting around feeling sorry for ourselves or we're just not feeling the... You need to just stop and think about that. You are no longer in the... I tell you what, I woke up the other day. I think I told Teresa this because Tan's not here. I woke up the other day feeling kind of bland. I mean, I usually wake up and I'm ready to... I usually think about doing things and whether I get them all done or not, you know. And, I always wake up in a really chipper attitude and I was bland. Anybody know that? Okay. And I'm thinking... I wasn't excited about it. I wasn't excited about doing this or doing that, studying the Word. And I thought, I'm not putting up with this. So I pulled a Smith Wigglesworth. How many knows what that is? Smith Wigglesworth. Praise God! Praise God! Praise God! Praise God! Thank you, God, for delivering me. Thank you, God. That's what I did. He got up every morning for 10 minutes and danced. The guy who had 30-some registered things where he brought him from death to life. Oh, shoes. I got up and did that. I didn't do 10 minutes. My body wasn't ready for it. But I tell you what did happen. This changed. Now, you can do that or you can't do that. But I thought, I am not putting up with this. You hear me say this, I've got so many days on this earth. And I'm not going to live it depressed. I refuse to live it depressed because Jesus paid too big a price for me to go and feel sorry for myself. What in the world is to feel sorry for? My husband is gone. He's waiting on me. That's as real to me as you sitting there with Bobby. He's waiting on me. It's not, I don't want another one. So I'm just saying he's waiting on me. My kids are all born again. I didn't need to get amends from that. My kids are all born again. My in-loves are all born again. I got 4 grandchildren born again. Some are just flat out too small to get them born again. I mean, things are going my way. So why would I be depressed? So just do the Smith-Wigglesworth effect. If you get, if you don't want to do it in front of Bobby, Okay, I'm going to get back to the message now. The Apostle Paul explains our condition before coming to Christ. He said that we were servants of sin. Servants of it. And that's in Romans 6, 17 and 20. A servant is a slave. It depicts all individuals is utterly consigned to a life of bondage and perpetual slavery for the rest of his life. That's where we were. Slaves existed solely to execute the commands of their owner. And their primary duty was to endlessly satisfy their master's every whim. These slaves were sold into the slave market, paid on the auction block, and auctioned off to the highest bidder. When that master was finished with them, no relationship, he would take them back to the slave market. They'd go back on the auction block and get sold again when he fulfilled whatever that master wanted them to do. And that would go on again and on again. Now, that's what happened back in those days. That's what Paul was describing. Over, the slave would be sold or traded from one form of slavery to the other. The mistreating of the slaves endured was horrible, degrading, and repulsive. This was our condition before coming to Christ. Over here, servants of sin. Servants of sin. Now you think, well, I wasn't that bad, or so-and-so's not bad. They don't. We're not talking about, we're talking about spiritually. We are spiritual beings. We're talking about the spiritual man. Everybody just wants to look at the body, it's doing this, or it's aging, or it's smiling, or it's not. But we're talking about our spiritual condition. At the time of Jesus' birth, the whole world was a slave market. And every human being was a slave to Satan because of the fall. Before we received Jesus, we were spiritually dead, separated from God, and Satan was our master. You may say, well, I didn't serve Satan before. Yeah, you did. There's no gray. There's black and there's white. There's no gray. There's no gray. Satan was the one controlling our life, working us like a master puppeteer, while we simply obeyed his every whim, living in the flesh and carrying out his desires. Be mean to your wife. Don't listen to your husband. Disobey your parents. That's what he was doing. Just control that. He was just controlling you. We are not in that anymore. We are over here. We were all spiritually and completely without Christ. Ephesians 4, Lauren. Two. But God, so rich in his mercy, because of and in order to satisfy the great and wonderful intense love with which he loved us. Yeah, five. Even when we were dead, slain by our own shortcomings and trespasses, he made us alive together in fellowship and in union with Christ. He gave us the very life of Christ himself, the same new life with which he quickened him. For it is by grace, his favor and mercy, which you did not deserve, Terry, that you are saved, delivered from judgment, and made partakers of Christ's salvation. His sozo, which includes health, healing, prosperity, eternal life. If you look at the Greek. When it says rich, this is what it depicts. It's one who is filthy, stinking, rich. So be it. It pictures God having so much mercy, it is impossible to calculate how much he has. God, who abounds in mercy, loved us so much that he sent Jesus. And when Jesus died on the cross and carried out the work of the redemption, he broke the power of the devil over our lives and purchased us out of the spiritual slave market. Amen. So if you were acting ugly over here and you got snatched out over here into the kingdom of his dear son, and you're still acting over here, read your Bible. Read Romans. Read Ephesians. It's going to tell you how to treat each other. It's going to tell you what to say, what to do, what's yours. So if you're acting ugly and you're born again, people are acting ugly. They ain't reading the Bible. They're not reading the Word of God. And they're not letting the Word of God correct them. Amen? Okay. God who about... Okay, forget that. I want to go to Colossians again. This is the Amplified... well, whatever. We continue to give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. I don't think that's what I wanted. It was 13. You got 13 again? Can you do that one? Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of his Son, of his love. Delivered means to rescue, to slay, or to pluck from peril. That is what God did for us. He plucked us. He delivered us from the power of darkness. Darkness pictures an utter darkness of Satan's sinister realm. And in that realm, things like sickness, disease, illness, and death operate to steal, kill, and destroy what is good in our lives. He plucked us out of that. 1 John 3:14. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Okay. Pass means this. Pass from moving from one realm to another, or a shift in position or environment. At the very moment of our salvation, we were extracted from death, death's dominion, and rescued from Satan's grasp, and passed or transitioned into the kingdom of God's Son, where there is no darkness, no death at all. If there's no darkness, there's no reason for me to feel dumb. So I had to do something about it. I'm into the kingdom of light. There's no glummy. This is dark. So glummy would be that gray area, and I refuse to let that linger. All the toxins of the dark realm were left behind because we moved into a kingdom that is only to be dominated by the glory of God. Therefore, when we choose to come to Christ, the power of darkness were broken over our lives. Amen. We are redeemed people. If you've asked Jesus into your heart, ask him to be Lord, at forgiveness of your sins, you are redeemed people. There are four New Testament words for redemption. Number one, bought. Have you got that, baby? Number one, this is for redemption. 1 Corinthians 6:20. For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We're bought with a price. Buying a slave, that's what it means. We were slaves and he bought us. Because Adam and Eve disobeyed God, humanity entered the slave market of the world by default. When a baby is born, it's born into an evil world. When your little one-year-old kicks you or won't obey or throws things, it's born into an evil world. That's why they act that way. Or, you know, go into other things, throw themselves on the floor and all that. It was this slave market that was teeming with demonic influence that Jesus came and bought us for himself. Isn't that wonderful? The second meaning is redeem. That's the second meaning of the word redemption. And people ask me, "Sister, Mom, what's your favorite verse in the Bible?" I said, "Are you kidding me? How could you possibly do that?" This is one of my favorite chapters. Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, curses everyone who hangs on a tree. He became the curse for us, that we might be under the blessing of Abraham. That is good news. Galatians chapter 3. Read that. This word is used to describe buying a slave. See everything here. Paul is talking about freedom. He's talking about slaves. And this is what Jesus did. This is the example he's giving us in the Word of God. The word here is used to describe buying a slave from the market and transferring that slave's ownership to a new master. Or liberating of a slave from the market permanently. Never to return to the old slavery again. This means once you receive Jesus, all the lingering effects of that old life are not to continue in your new life. In Christ, we have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We are to be completely free of those old toxins, which involves disease, illness, sickness, all of that. Doesn't belong to us. Disease, all that doesn't belong to us. Here's disease and sickness. We got plucked up. We got transferred over into divine health, healing, and wholeness. The third word for redemption is redeem. I put these up here in case you... Titus 2:14. Gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify himself for his own special people, zealous for good works. Redeem in this verse means it pictures the act of ransoming a slave from the chains of a former master and welcoming that former slave into the embrace of a new master, an owner paying whatever price is necessary to buy that slave. It was the blood of Jesus that was necessary. Jesus paid the highest price that he has ever paid for a slave. He gave his own blood to buy it. And for all those who come to him by faith, he has already paid the ransom and welcomes them into his embrace. Isn't that wonderful? The fourth is redemption. And that is Ephesians 1:7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Praise God. This redemption means to pay the price required to buy back a slave with the goal of restoring his former status that he had before he was taken into slavery. This means Jesus didn't just deliver you for eternal salvation, which is awesome, when he redeemed you. His intention was to totally break the chokehold and the shackles of the devil and death of our life and return you to the original status that Adam had before he transgressed. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? Prior to Adam and Eve's disobedience, they walked in fellowship with them in the Garden of Eden, where there was no sickness, no illness, no disease, no strife. That's why he's transforming us over here. That's why I keep saying God wants a relationship. He wants what he had with Adam, what he had with Adam and Eve. They just walked and talked. He just tended to it. I mean, it's not like they... anything died on the trees. He just tended to them. Probably like this. Ooh, look at that one. Wonder what that one tastes like. He just tended. And then he'd walk with God's son. He'd love on his own. It was good. No house cleaning girls. No nothing. No dust. No dust. Well, if there was some dust, because she was, you know, and all that. But he didn't get on things. Oh, who hates the dust? I do. It's a curse. So anyway, that's what God wants to have with us. And that's what's included in redemption. He wants your fellowship. He wants you healed, healthy, and whole. It's one thing to be healed. I mean, it's good when things come on us to get healing. But what he wants us, really wants for us, is to walk in wholeness. To walk in wholeness. Not having every other year we have to say, oh God, please heal me from this. He just wants us to walk in wholeness. I was listening to... I think his name's Kirk Butler, and he had Billy Brim on. Billy's in her late 80s. Does anybody confirm that with me? Am I right? Mid-late 80s? Maybe mid. And she was talking about the healing. I mean, she's not the only one that does this. Many here do this. But the long life, the healing scriptures that she reads over herself every day. And yes, I tried to find them. But there are good people out there who have healing scriptures, long life scriptures. In fact, I've had them here that she quotes over herself every day. She spoke. And so what, Terry? So what, she says that. What does that mean? That means it goes into the atmosphere. She puts her faith on it. God hears. God does. It's like that. If you go around and say, oh, man, my back, I don't know. This hip, oh, man. This knee, oh, man. Migraines, I get them every. What happens? You own what you say. So anyway, all right. That's not my message. I'm not talking about confession. God wants this. He wants wholeness in lives. It does mean eternal salvation, but it also provides deliverance and healing for you and me. It is a reinstatement to what God originally intended to belong to you before the fall. But we have to know what belongs to us for us to take it by faith and lay hold of it. It's truly God's will for you to be well. It's part of your redemption. It belongs to us. That's why Psalms 107:2, I didn't give it to Lauren, says, let the redeemed, that's us, of the Lord say so. And he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. So we got to go around. I mean, what do people like to talk about more than anything except other people is their illnesses, the medicine they're taking, the woes they've gone through, and all of that. Do you know people like that? I know bunches. And it's like, okay. You know, that's what the Bible tells us to say that, let the redeemed say so. And someone comes up and says, my arthritis is killing me. And you're over there, maybe your arthritis is acting up. I'm not denying that someone's hurt. I'm denying the right for it to hurt that person. You understand? Okay, so I'm not saying. Now, you've heard me say this before, so I have to say it again. Most Christians wouldn't be here without doctors. Thank God for doctors. They are supposed to be on the same side as God to heal us. I mean, let me tell you what, sometimes you need relief. I don't care what you've got. I am not saying don't go to the doctor. That's my disclaimer. That's my clarification. Don't walk away from here and think, well, Terry says, if you go to the doctor, no, absolutely not. I'm telling you the word of God, what Jesus did for your redemption. I'm telling you what's in your redemption package. Now, if you take medicine, this is what you do. Father, I take this in the name of Jesus that it does exactly what it's supposed to do. It doesn't do anything else. It causes no ill effects, and it does what it's supposed to do, and I thank you for the day that I get off of it. Amen. Amen. That's Psalms 107:2. Did I write that down right? If I didn't, call me. We have to cooperate by saying it doesn't just fall on us. That's the fight of faith. The fight of faith is saying faith things when you don't want to say faith things. When you want to say, my belly hurts, my knee hurts, my toe hurts, my kid's sick, I'm never going to get. We have to say what God says. That's the fight of faith. Now, if you don't understand that, don't be embarrassed. But do I need to explain that better? Do I need to go a different direction? Okay. Because that's the problem. So many Christians don't know. And it's because they don't get told. Okay? So remember what I'm about to say. I'm getting rid of this. The Bible tells us to stand against the wiles, the tricks, the deceiving of the devil. And that matters. It reveals how the enemy actually works. The devil is not created. He's not all-knowing. He's not omnipotent. He's not omnipresent. Okay? He's not God. He does not invent new strategies. For thousands of years, he has used the same pattern over and over and over again. And if you understand that pattern, you can recognize his activity and stop it before it goes any further. I'm giving you a really good tip here. Every. Everybody say every. Every attack begins in the mind. Thoughts are the entry point. If the enemy can influence what you think, he can influence how you think and eventually how you live. That's why the Bible places such emphasis on what? Renew your mind. That's why I'm saying you got plucked out of this darkness. If you don't renew your mind, you can still act ugly and go to heaven. Or you can renew your mind and say, you know what? I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have felt that way. I should, you know. And so what is that? That's the Holy Spirit telling you. But you know, like, okay, all right, let's work on that. Let's go over here and say. And then things begin to just, I don't know. Somehow the Holy Spirit will protect you. And it's like, no big deal. You know, I told you I went through an aggravation. It did take me a day and a half. And here's the deal. I'll tell you this. Every time I talk about it, the aggravation kind of comes up. You know, my kids will get around and they'll say, did you know? And it's kind of like, oh. And I'll say, nah, I don't want to talk about it. I'm just telling you, where the enemy messes with us is here. He didn't have any right to kill you. He didn't have any right to steal from you. He didn't have any right to destroy you. You know that? He can't just come in and kill you, do you? He can't do that. He cannot do that. Can I talk about you? Then let's just say, Dina just goes on and on and on about, you don't care if I use your right. Okay, see, right about permission. She starts talking about her heart. She goes to Megan and she says, you know, I don't know. Something's just not, you know, I don't know what's going on here. And she talks about it to Megan. And Megan said, well, let's just pray about it. And Dina says, okay. And she goes over to Megan. You know, Megan prayed about it, but you know what? It's just getting worse and worse and worse. You know, it killed so-and-so and so-and-so in my family. I think it might kill me. And Brenda says, well, you know what? You better go talk to Megan again. You need to re-pray this. And you say, okay. And Brenda prays for her. And she goes back to Stace. And she says, Stacey, I don't know. My heart hurts all the time. Do you see how you're not living? This has got to agree with that, the word of God. And so he didn't have any right to kill her. But if she opens the door, come on in, Satan, work on this heart. I know that's an exaggerated example, but that's how it works. He didn't have any right to kill you, Denise. He doesn't. But if you're thinking, you know, Mama died at 60. I don't know if I'm going. And the next thing you know, well, I'm getting close to 60. And I don't know if I'll make it as long as my mom or not. Heck no. I'm leaving on my terms. When I'm ready to get out of here. Healthy and whole and prosperous and doing the Lord's work. I'm not going out in a dementia or a rest home. I'm not doing it. Anybody want me? I'm not. My kids, I'm not going to be a burden to my children. I'm going to be saying, do you need help? Do you need help? I got it. You want me to come pray for you and take, but my kids, you know, they know I preach this stuff. So I'm saying, the enemy doesn't have any rights. You know, that we think he does. We think he does because there's heart disease. There's diabetes. I mean, I don't even know all the names. And if mom and dad had it or whatever, you know, you think, well, you know, I get it. Yeah, I'm just probably going to die with them. I'll go, by the way, the same way. You fight the good fight. It's a good fight. Or you open the door to the devil. And then if I have to do your funeral, I'm going to say the nicest things in the world about you, and I'm going to talk about heaven. I am. Okay, now I want to finish up by saying this. I've laid the ground floor, okay? And then we've got Easter and blah, blah, blah. But I'm going to get back to it. Two things I want to say. Don't forget those. No foul will be blamed in Jesus' name. And I've laid the foundation, and I'm going to answer questions like, well, how come? Why did they? I'm going to get to that, okay? I'll get to it. I mean, you know, you all could be sitting there saying, talk, your husband died of cancer. He did. And you know what Gaben wanted me to tell him, Terry? Tell him. Tell him the truth. Tell him the truth. That's what he would want me to be doing instead of saying, woe is me. Listen, I'm fighting the good fight of faith. I'm representing him here on earth. Okay? So I'm not moving off that, but I'm going to talk about the whys. How come a good person? Because let me tell you what, there's a lot of good people in ministry that have gone on up. The year Gaven died, I think there was three great pastors that went up also. There is an enemy, people. There is an enemy, and we have to listen to the Holy Spirit inside of us. Okay, the last thing I'm going to say is the mind. If you've never heard this before, or if it's become dull to you can sit there and argue with everything and disagree with it. Say, well, she didn't know this. She didn't know what happened. She doesn't know. I don't, and I don't really want to. What you need to know, then I'll listen. Before I stake my claim. And I'm not budging, people. I'm not budging. I'll weep with you. I'll cry with you. But this remains the same. It remains the same. So don't let your head get out in front of your face if it's negative. If you're sitting here, if your head's arguing with me, or if you're listening to this and your head's arguing with me and saying, well, my pastor said this, I'm telling you what the Word of God says, and that's eternal. And when I stand before him, he'll probably say to me, Terry, you did it all right, but you didn't do it good enough. You didn't do it strong enough. You didn't tell him how much I really wanted him healed. That will be my only thing. How much God wants us healed. So we can do this, people. That's all right. That is your redemption package, the beginning of it. And I'll finish this out until someone comes up to you and you will say, they'll say, oh, I got this and that. And we all did. Listen, I had that. I call it this. This is the word for it. For 17 months. 17 months. It was miserable. Miserable. I don't want to tell you that I don't ever go through anything. But here's what I did not do. I didn't get off the Word of God. It didn't change my mind. It didn't stop me. It hurt. And I cried a lot. And I couldn't sleep a lot. And I couldn't wear clothes. It was internal shingles. And it was just awful. It was hell on earth. They call it the suicide disease. They did. Oh, yeah, the enemy comes. Just get out of it any way you can. But I tell you what, I never got off the Word of God. Maybe I opened the door someplace, I don't know. But I'm telling you, it was my redemption package, and I'm healed. I'm healed, never to come back home. So I'm not without compassion for people who go through things. I want you to know that. I'm not without compassion. But I'm always going to tell you what the Word of God says. It's the only thing that will change your life. My opinion won't change your life. The Word of God. Any questions?